and welcome. I'm Richard from Veg Grower Podcast. This is episode 127, titled Wildlife Areas. And today is the 31st of July, 2017. So, coming up today, I have the usual diary section, where I shall discuss what I've done in the greenhouse, extra hydroponics items, and a few bits I've harvested. I then have a little bit on wildlife areas. Well, I say a little bit. It's actually quite a bit. But the idea of this is just why they're a good idea and worth thinking about to have a wildlife area on your plot. But before that, let's talk about the latest happenings on the plot. Now, again, this last week, the weather has dictated a lot of things. It's been warm, but heavy rains, especially in the evenings. And as such, I have been unable to get down the allotment in the evenings. However, at home, I managed to get quite a few things done. Managed to tidy up the vegetable patch, mainly tying in the plants, particularly tomatoes and cucumbers. These have kind of taken over and just grown lots of foliage. I've done my best. I actually found some tomatoes and cucumbers that were ready, that were hiding. And yeah, it's looking a lot better. I think I've probably grown them a bit too close together. But I need to keep on this and keep repeating this week too. By Thursday, I noticed that the seeds sown last week had started to show. And these were like the cauliflowers, cabbage, spinach and kale. So within a week they were up. That's really good. And I'm hoping they'll be ready for winter planting. Or planting out soon anyway. On Friday, I happened to be working near an IKEA. And as I was so pleased with the hydroponics kit, I went in and brought a few more of the trays and the feed just to grow a few more plants. And it does recommend using the food more. So I didn't want to buy it, but I kind of felt I'm only going to get poor results if I don't get the correct food. So I've done that now. I haven't set up the newer trays, but that's another mission I've got to do. Saturday in the morning, it was very clear, so I tackled a lot of the pruning on the ivy I have just behind the vegetable patch. Now, this ivy grows like mad, and I got a love-hate relationship with ivy. It grows so mad, which is what I hate, but it's good for nature, and birds love it. But that will be coming up later on in the show. By early afternoon, it started raining, so I went in the greenhouse, and again, I've just tackled my tomatoes, tying them in, because I couldn't actually get into the door where the tomatoes were growing in front of the door. So I've tied them in. I've got to get some bigger cages, as my ones are far too short, and I've also stripped off some lower leaves, and this allows better ventilation. Now, this is something I've never done before, but I've watched a lot of people doing it and I've decided to give it a try. And what I'm basically doing here is just peeling off the lower leaves of the plant, or the branches if you like, just kind of pinching them off, snapping them off, however you want to describe it. Basically, these are branches that have no flowers or tomatoes on them, and they just pinch them off, peel them off, and then they end up in the compost bin and composted down. And the idea, as I understand it, in doing this is that by removing these lower leaves, we're allowing better air ventilation through the plants, which would probably reduce the risk of diseases such as blight. It also lets more light into the lower tomatoes and therefore should make them ripen faster, which in my book, it can only be a good thing. I will be repeating this on my outside plants as well. Now, what I should mention, that while I was in the greenhouse, I was on Facebook Live. It was kind of a test, but it's a feature I may well repeat in the future. It'd be like, I'll give everyone a warning on the podcast when I'm going to do it, but it'll be like a work with Richard kind of experience. I'll be in a potting shed or something, and come on, throw a few questions my way, etc., etc. But if that's something you're going to be interested in, check out my Facebook page and give it a like, and I will let you know when I'm going to do one. It won't be this weekend as I'm on call, so I can't guarantee I'll be in there. The weekend after, I'm actually at the Chili Fiesta, which is one of my favourite shows, so we'll see if I do anything that weekend. While I was in the greenhouse, I did note that I have a small melon growing, which I'm chuffed to pieces with, because it's the first time I've actually managed to get a melon to set. And I will be keeping an eye on this and encouraging it to grow. We'll report back on that as the weeks go on by. Sunday I went down the allotment late morning and I got the barbecue going. And just to smoke some chicken thighs. Now, as one of the first things I do when I get to there is just have a walk around and have a check on things. And I actually noticed a few problems had occurred. First of all, the top of a cherry tree had snapped in the high winds that we've had over this last week. It was probably getting a bit tall anyway, so it's probably saved me a job, but it's still not brilliant. But it'll be okay, it won't really do any harm. Second thing I noticed, the grapevine leaves, so they've turned brown and black and it's looking really, really sad. Almost looks like it hasn't been watered, but given the recent weather, it's definitely not going to be lack of watering. But I've given it a good feed and given it a water, and we'll monitor it again. Hopefully it hasn't died, but if it has, we'll have to get another one. Thirdly, something has been eating my pumpkin. There was nibbles basically taken out the underside, which I'm really not happy about. I'm not sure if I'm going to cut this pumpkin off and just let others develop, or just see what happens with this one. I'm not sure at this present moment in time. I'm not even sure what's nibbled on it. It could be birds, but I think it looks more like woodlouse and bugs and stuff. I'm not sure. But again, I'll be monitoring this. I then carried out more weedling, mostly on my newer half of the plot, as I kind of neglected this over the last few weeks, and I kind of haven't stayed on top of the weeds. Now I've got a fair few of them removed and it's looking a lot better. So I've just got to keep on top of it as well as the older half. I then harvested all my overwintered white onions, and these I'm really happy with actually. They're decent sized bulbs, very usable, in pretty good condition. These will now air dry in the potting shed and then stored with all the rest. I've also harvested all the remaining shallots, so my shallot bed is now empty. And again, I was pretty happy with the results on these. Decent sized shallots. The smaller ones will probably be pickled and some will be used fresh. Although I have to admit, I'm still using shallots from last year. They do tend to store really well, shallots. So I believe Bob Flowerdew said he can keep his up to 18 months. So far it looks like the same sort of thing here. I harvested a few carrots, but these carrots had actually split. They're still edible. But I think they had basically split because of the weather. The sudden downpour of rain, or we've had dry spells and then it's just hit with a lot of rain, made them swell too fast. But that's not too... I've harvested ones as this has affected. They're still edible, as I say. So we've just got to cut away the bad bits. I then harvested some more French beans. Again, another decent amount of French beans, which these will be frozen. I've got to say, the beans are really performing well this year. In fact, I have to say that everything has performed better than last year. With all that done, I went home and cleaned out the chickens, and I then sown a few more seeds. Basically, end of July, these needed doing, as I wanted some more peas and some more spinach, and the peas was the last chance to get them in. So that is the diary taken care of. It's been a fair bit going on this last week, funnily enough. Anyway, but the wildlife areas. Now, this is a subject I've often thought about discussing on podcasts. But over this last week, I've seen a hell of a lot of mentions about wildlife areas on various websites and things. And what with the ivy a YouTuber, Dave from Dave's Allotment, I'm a big fan of his. His was the final straw that kind of said to me, yeah, I've got to do this. Basically, Dave got a letter about his plot being untidy from the allotment police, but he put it down to his wildlife area. So he done a bit of a chat about his wildlife area. So I emailed Dave to get some advice and tips that I can share with you all about wildlife area. And he responded back. I'll discuss this response with you now. Right, so Dave's email goes, "Hi Richard, and thanks for your comment. A wildlife area, in my eyes, is beneficial to a veg garden in many ways, as it creates a habitat for many garden-friendly wildlife. First of all, start with a pond, which will become the source of the best slug killers in the world, frogs. And over time, the area will become a home for many bugs by having a bug hotel. The best advice is, once things have established, leave them alone. Plant wildflower seeds to attract bees and butterflies, then leave everything until spring, as the frogs, etc., will like to hibernate in the area. So you don't want to disturb anything. I hope this helps your podcast, and please mention my YouTube channel if people are interested and get them to subscribe. Cheers." Well, please do subscribe. I'll add a link to his YouTube channel on the blog post. As I said, I thoroughly enjoy his videos. He's pretty good, and I've mentioned him a few times, I know. Now, everything he states in there is great advice and pretty informative. And that is basically the basic principle of this topic, getting these things in place to encourage beneficial wildlife. But why do we want wildlife in a garden? Well, one example is exactly what Dave mentioned, is the frogs eating slugs, snails, etc. That is worth its weight in gold alone, because you know, you can't be on the allotment on the slug and snail prowl all the time, but your frogs and your wildlife can be. So that is just great. It also means we don't need to use, I certainly don't need to use, slug killer pellets. Slug killer pellets kill off other wildlife, and I certainly don't want to get my chickens getting hold of them. The only place the only area I use any slug pellets at the moment is in my greenhouse, but that won't happen forever. The list of jobs that wildlife can do for us in a vegetable garden goes on for ages, but pest control and pollination is the main two that really benefit us. Now, my first allotment I had over in Brighton years ago now, one of the first jobs we did was built a pond. And we basically took an old bath, it was a corner bath, so it had a ledge already there, and we sunk this into the soil, filled it with water, I put some water plants in there, and I also submerged a ramp so that frogs can easily climb out, but if a hedgehog or something falls in, it could also easily climb out. Next to this pond, we stacked some pallets, five or six high, if I remember right. And we basically, like, on the bottom level, we'd leave areas for hedgehogs to get in and old pots for frogs and ceramics for frogs and things like that. And then on the next levels, we'd stuff them with other things such as canes, dried grass, bricks. We also scattered some dead wood around. This all makes a very good habitat for bugs and wildlife to live and grow. And then we had a few wildflowers growing around the area as well. And it just created a really good haven for them. And we had a lot of wildlife, a lot of slugs, a lot of frogs and hoverflies, butterflies, dragonflies, things like that. It was really, really good. Now, when I moved into the house that I live in now, I noticed I had no slugs or snails in the garden. And I brought this up in conversation with the old owners, and they basically said they had rescued some hedgehogs, and these live in the garden under the shed. And they'll kind of please look after them. So we have. We also have lots of finches and robins in the garden, which tend to nest in the ivy. And these all combined have eaten all the slugs and snails, or most of them anyway. Obviously, I've got the chickens as well, which have a big help as well. Now, the allotment I'm on now, we are not allowed ponds, which I think is a real big shame, as I would love to have a pond there. However, we've got lots of meadow areas and overgrown plots, which are a real haven for wildlife. That being said, I would still like to encourage more wildlife into both my garden and the allotment, but how and why is what I'm going to discuss next. Now, currently in my garden, I have allowed room under my sheds and fences for hedgehogs to roam around and nest. Hedgehogs are really good for eating slugs and snails, and I really want to encourage these. I've got a plastic box that I've upturned. I cut a whole hedgehog-sized hole in so the hedgehog can go in. And in there, I leave a little bowl of hedgehog food that I got from a pet shop. I also like to leave a little bowl of water out for them, and yeah, they seem to use it. It's really good to see. I haven't seen them for a while in these summer months, but I'm sure they're still around. I certainly see signs of them still being around. I'd love to set up a wildlife camera and try and catch them one day. Now, the bowl of water is also used by the birds, which, again, they're really good for pest control, especially like small birds like finches. They will eat slugs, snails and even aphids, all of which can ruin crops. But I want to encourage these birds. I mean, I know we have three robins living in our garden, and many finches. I've had them nesting and stuff. I've rescued a fledgling in about May time. But to encourage more of these, I like to hang up some bird seed in a feeder for them to eat. And I also like to leave fat balls out for them, especially in the winter. This just simply provides them with a constant food source. I mentioned the ivy earlier, which I've got growing at the back of the vegetable patch, and it acts as a screen because behind there we have a patio area where none of our neighbours can basically see in, thanks to this ivy. This plant alone is worth growing because it is great for wildlife. In this ivy I have dozens of birds' nests. Birds love it because it provides them good cover, so they feel safe in there. And in the winter, the berries it produces are a good source of food for them. I've also placed other bird houses in various trees I have in the garden for them to use. And bird houses aren't expensive at all. I'll add links to Amazon for bird houses, but you can also make them out of scrap wood very easily. RSPB have some designs for some houses, which I'll add links to. And yeah, these just give them somewhere else safe to nest. Now, along with birdhouses, it's worth building bug hotels or bug houses. And these are, some of these can be like a similar to a birdhouse, but instead of the front with a little hole for them, you'd fill it with something like bamboo canes or similar for solitary bees. Or you could have dry leaves, sticks and straw for ladybirds, which eat a lot of aphids. Or you could have corrugated card for lacewings, which also eat a lot of aphids. Now, as I said, the RSPB has some great projects, and I'll add a link to their website with all their projects and details on how to make them, should that be of interest to you. It's also worth leaving some rotting wood lying around as well. An old branch is great. This makes a great home for beetles and other bugs like that. Wildflowers. Let's get onto the wildflowers, really. These are there to attract pollinators, which is what we really want. Ideally, we want flowers that are indigenous to our country or area. And in many ways, just leaving a small area for weeds to grow and just get away with is probably the best thing to do. However, on an allotment with the allotment police, they may have other ideas, and this may not be up to their standard, as I'm sure Dave can attest to. So if you're going to have a wild area on something like an allotment where it will get checked, it's probably worth making a sign saying this is a wild area or something similar, just so it doesn't look like it's been left. Now, there are plants we can plant that would do the job. And at home, my wife is obsessed with a meadow. She wants a meadow in the garden. God knows why she's got an obsession, but it's not a bad idea, in fairness. So just in front of a veg patch, I'm building an area which is going to be a meadow. And this meadow is basically just left to grow. It will only get cut down about once a year, and this will just provide a habitat for wildlife all the time. And the seeds I'll be using is a mixed batch of seed balls, which has lots of different seeds in them from many different plants. Again, I'll add links to Amazon for these so you can see what I'm talking about. But while I was researching this topic, I found an interesting article from the BBC which has listed its top 10 plants for wildlife which look appropriate in a garden or similar. These 10 are sunflower, which, yeah, that grows on a vegetable patch and what have you. Foxglove is poisonous if you eat it, but, you know, you can grow that quite happily. Thyme, well, that grows on my herbs. Lavender, I've got that growing out the front. Honeysuckle, again, I don't grow it, but, you know. Rowan, I see that everywhere, but not my particular thing. Iceplant, I've never heard of. Firethorn, I've never heard of. Barberry, I've seen around, I'm not a fan of, but nevertheless, for wildlife, it's probably a good thing. Purple, loosestrife is the last one, and I've never heard of them. But these were all recommended for encouraging wildlife while keeping a kind of orderly look. Personally, I prefer just to leave a small area to naturalise and look messy, as it is probably the best for nature. However, as many gardeners will get criticised if these are, and that makes these areas hard to implement. Now, my final note on this subject is the fact that as gardeners, we tend to be tidy and nature isn't tidy. The fact that if we left things to look a bit messy for just a little bit longer, you know, don't start tidying up until the spring, we would have a lot more nature in our gardens and allotments. Now, allotments are known to be the best places for lots of diversity in species. I put this down to the fact that in that field, that is the allotment site, you could have several different gardeners. And if we take the apple, not every gardener, there's going to be several different varieties of apples. So they're growing different varieties and different species are coming along. So that's worth bearing in mind as well. Well, that's kind of the wildlife area little discussion that I've prepared on it. It's inspired me to look at getting bug hotels again and getting nature around a bit more. I'm trying to think of ways I can use a water butt as a kind of pond without it being a pond. And little things like that, and possibly growing wildflowers down the allotment. But it's definitely inspired me doing all this research, and I hope it's inspired you all too. There is a huge heap of information on the subject, and I could actually go on for a lot longer and into a lot more detail than what I've listed today. But this is basically the very basics. So I'll keep you posted on how I get on, and if anybody out there is going to be growing it and doing a similar thing, please get in touch and share your experience. Yeah, and that would be great. So yeah, let's wrap up for now. Please take care, and I will speak to you all again next time.